Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
We read about Moses, of course, through the whole book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, there is so many mentions about Moses' life. But let's just quickly turn to the Hebrew scripture that we've been sort of referring to from our hero section. And in verse 25 of chapter 11, it says this: "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, but they were not afraid of the king's edict." The king's edict at that time was to put any male child to death, because the Pharaoh at the time just realized that there were this group of people called the Israelites were growing and growing and growing, and they were getting a bit frightened of this huge group of people in their territory, and they just really wanted to ensure that they kept them subdued and kept numbers. And so therefore there was an edict at the time from Pharaoh, who was the lead guy. We would call him a king in our day, but in that time they would call him the Pharaoh. And there was an edict. By faith, it says from verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." And then it goes into the Jericho story. I just wanted to pick a number of things out from this particular story. I would encourage you to read, obviously, the whole story in Exodus. But there is just a fantastic synopsis in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen has been accused of saying certain things against the Pharisees. And there he is in the court of law, just with his evidence. And obviously, most of the time where you read in the Old New Testament, they say God the Father of Abraham, God the Father of Isaac, and God of Jacob. There's history. There's generation to generation to generation. And it's just important, those things. I've been just seeing little Bethan here that Chad has got in his arms right now. This is just an act. I've been looking at that because, you see, Moses had promises over. It's okay, Chad, if you just stay 2 minutes, because I want us, because it's important. Because I want you to understand that even as a little baby, Bethan has promises that God has over her life. There's things that God has ordered for her that he is going to ensure are fulfilled. Yes. We sometimes can't see what those promises are at this stage in her life, and she certainly doesn't know what they are. But I just, I'm speaking over you, Bethan, because God has promised you to be a servant of the king, a princess, that is going to be somebody who is going to reflect the Lord's glory in your life and in all that you do. God is going to gift her in her hands, that he's going to use her hands in something, in creativity. But I just really believe that this is you look a little burn like that, and you see that actually God has promises there. And you see, thank you, in Moses there was promises that God had ordained in Moses' life even when he was young. We know the story. Many of us know the story very, very well, where Moses was taken into the palace, was looked after by the princess. and for 40 years was raised very much like an Egyptian. He was very intellectual because he had all the best teachers of the day. He had all the wealth that he needed, all the good food, which I like. All of these things he had in abundance. But there was something in Moses that actually at the bottom of his heart, he knew he wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. He was an Israelite. And so when he got to 40 years of age, we know the story a little bit, where he saw a couple of people who were fighting, and he saw an Egyptian getting very angry with one of his own kin, one of his, you know, people from the Hebrew nation. And he intervened, and he actually killed the Egyptian. Now, he felt that he did it in a secret way, that nobody else knew what was going on. But when he saw the Israelis, two Israelis in a next period of time fighting, then he tried to intervene, saying, brothers, you shouldn't be fighting against each other. You should be in unity, but you shouldn't be fighting. And they then sort of said, oh, but you killed the Egyptian. Who are you to make us Lord and ruler over us? And then he fled. But you understand, for me, it was another 40 years where he was in the wilderness looking after sheep until God spoke to him in what we know as the burning bush. One of the things for me that I'm learning from this story, and every time I just think about it, you know, I just want to, I believe God wants to remind me, and therefore he wants to remind you, is that some of the promises that God has spoken over your life, they sometimes won't happen in a day or two, but they could take years to fulfill. But because God has spoken, they will be fulfilled. It's not something that God is going to... And I used a word in the first service, and please forgive me if this is not, it's a sensitive word to you, but I believe that there are people who have aborted the promises from God. That there are things that have started, but actually you haven't seen the fulfillment, you haven't seen the completion of the promise of God, and it's like there has been an aborted promise. And I just know that, you know, what God is wanting to do today is to remind us that when God speaks, he wants to fulfill his promise over your life, over your situations, over your circumstances. And one of the things that I've learned about Moses is that when you read about his life, is that it wasn't just a one-off occasion where God spoke, but there was many, many different times that God spoke on the journey. Yes, he had a bigger picture that he was going to be the deliverer of the people of Israel. And that's what he tried to do when he was aged 40. But he was trying to do it in his own strength. Because ultimately he knew right deep inside of him that God had got a purpose for his life. And that purpose was connected with the children of Israel. But you see, when we try and do things in our own strength, in our own ability, when we try and get involved with what God has promised, then things go a little bit askew. We heard about Abraham, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, where he had his wife Sarah couldn't have children. And so Sarah said, oh, here's Hagar, and you can have a child with her. And so therefore, they did, and a baby was born called Ishmael. And again, that was not the fulfillment of God's promise. God had another way that he was wanting to do it that was a supernatural thing. And so therefore, we heard about that. We heard Joseph trying to, oh Lord, you know, change a few things. We've heard about Noah, 100 years that it took him to build the boat until the waters came. It wasn't something that was a click of a finger and it all happened. But there was a series of events that there was having to be obedience to those promises. And when we try and get involved in what God is wanting to do, then we just need to be very, very careful. Because sometimes when we go into the wilderness experience of life, which I know a number of people in this room even now feel that they're in like a wilderness. They feel that, you know, okay, God, where are you in this? But for me, one of the things that I've learned from Moses' life is that even though it was for 40 years, there was a breaking of self in order for then God to do and be able to do what he wanted to do in Moses' life. When Moses tried to do it, it failed. Why? Because it was not God's perfect timing at that moment in time. But God had to do a work in Moses. And in revivalists, people like John Wesley, Whitfield, Wigglesworth, people who over the last 200-300 years have been major movers and shakers in the Christian world, what they termed brokenness, where there is a breaking of self so that the life of God can be fully manifested in you. And therefore, Moses had to be broken of all the intellect, all the knowledge, all the understanding that he had got. And all of that is not negative. It just needs to be in God's hands. But when it's in God's hands, he can do awesome things. And so in the story, we go on where he had a burning bush experience, where God spoke to him out of a burning bush. Now, a burning bush in a wilderness scenario is not unusual. In a wilderness, bushes often spark a light because it's dry conditions. And sometimes there can be spontaneous combustion, it's called. Something that will just spark to life. But what was so unusual about this, it wasn't burning. And that was what drew his attention. And so God spoke, saying that he was going to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. And he said, I don't want that job. I don't want that thank you very much. 40 years before, he was trying to be the deliverer, but he was trying to do it in his own strength, in his own ability. But Moses understood that at that time, when he was, 40 years older, there was a understanding that he couldn't do it. And, at the end of the day, we can't do it, but the Holy Spirit in us can. He's the one that can bring change. He's the one that can actually make things happen. Things can change as a result of what God does. And Moses made so many excuses, and how many of us sometimes make excuses to do what God asks of us? But you see, Moses, at the end of the day, God got quite angry with him and says, yes, you're going, and Aaron's on his way to help you. In Acts, it talks about Moses being very eloquent. He was very strong in speech. But then when you read in the Exodus account, after the 40 years in the wilderness, he said he was nervous, he couldn't speak, he just couldn't get words out. But you see, that process was an important process God had to take him through in order to get him ready for the task that God had prescribed for Moses. You see, God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. It's not that we're living thousands of years ago. We're living today, and God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of us. But we need to make sure that we're doing it in God's way, not our way. That every time we're listening to what he's saying, we're responding to what he wants us to do, so that we're not going sideways. We're not trying to make things happen. Because if we try and get involved, then it doesn't bode too well. But when we allow God to do what only he can do, by us being a people who are responding to what God is saying every single day of our life, then that response to what God is saying will bring us into a place where we will begin to see the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose. So Moses went, and we hear about the plagues. There was 10 plagues, wasn't there? And if you understand the 10 plagues, when you read into it a little bit more, you understand that the Egyptians had many, many gods. They had many gods. They had the sun god, they had the river god, They had an animal god. They had all of sorts of gods that they had idols and they worshipped. And you see, one of the things I believe God was wanting to do and wanting to ensure was that through those 10 plagues, every single deity that the Egyptians had to bow down before God. God had to bring every single one of them to a position where he was supreme. Now, going into the story a little bit more, you understand that God and what God did at that period of time in Egypt with the 10 plagues, those miracles, those supernatural events, made God known to all the other nations around them. God is wanting to do signs and wonders and miracles in your life to reveal Christ to this nation. God wants to do miracles in your life that reveals Christ in your workplace. God is wanting to do miracles in your life that will reveal Christ in your street, with your family. But you see, we need to come into a place where God is central to absolutely everything so that he can take over. It's his miracle. It's his hand at work. And all that God is requiring of us is for us to be obedient. Moses had to stay obedient every single day of his life. When he was going to see Pharaoh, it was like, God, what do you want me to do? Throw your stick to the ground. Go and strike the water and it will be turned to blood. Go and do this, go and do that. And as he responded, God was able then to do the miracles. You see, God wants us to respond to what he's saying so that he can then be the miracle-working God that we know he is. Because he wants to do miracles. I believe God is wanting to do miracles today. I believe that, you know, one of the things that we see that after the 10th plague, we read about the Passover. And I just am astounded how the Passover in the Old Testament so reflects who Jesus Christ is in the New Testament. The 4 days where you look at the unblemished lamb. They took a lamb 4 days before Passover. They needed to check to ensure that the lamb was without defect. Jesus was without defect. They examined Jesus and they found that he was perfect. I find nothing wrong with this man. Nobody could find anything to accuse Jesus of. They made things up, but they could not find anything to accuse Jesus. Then they put the blood on the mantle that brought salvation into that home. We know that Jesus Christ today can bring salvation into our homes. If we accept who Jesus Christ is and we say yes to Jesus, we know that what he did on the cross enables us to live a life that is completely his because we now belong to him. And so therefore he can do whatever he chooses in your life, in my life, cooperating with him in everything. But you see, that blood is so powerful that if any Israelite didn't put the blood across the mantle, when the angel of death passed over, they would have died, the firstborn would have died. If an Egyptian had heard the story and they said, we're going to put blood on our mantle just in case, then the angel of death would have passed over them. You see, I just really believe that the blood of Jesus still is so powerful today that for us as believers and for anybody who is not as a believer at this moment in Jesus Christ at this time, his life continues to speak on our behalf before the Father. And therefore, because we know that he is interceding for us, then God has an amazing purpose for your life and my life if we do what God asks of us. Because you see, Moses is known as the deliverer. And I believe that God is wanting to deliver us from some attitude, some negativity. God wants to, I believe, change some scenarios today because we come into alignment with his plan and purpose. That we put our life in line with his life and his promises over us. But we'll get to that in a moment. We read a little bit further where when they crossed over the Red Sea, they had celebrations, but then they very quickly got into negativity. And it's just important for me that we just get to an understanding is that sometimes if we're going to see God's fulfillment in our life, that we're going to have to change our language. Because the language of the Israelites, once they crossed over, then it completely changed very, very quickly into a negativity. God wants to fulfill his promises over your lives. But you see, one of the things that I know, and this is why we're looking at heroes of faith. Faith is something I believe that God is wanting to again activate in every single one of our hearts and lives. So that we're responding not just from a natural point of view, but because God has spoken to us. And so we're saying, yes, Lord, I know that that's what you're wanting to say. I know that that's what you're going to do. And saying, yes, I'm going to take hold of that promise. I'm going to accept what you say. No matter if I have to wait a week, a year, or even longer in some situations. Because God will fulfill his promise. All we have to do is continue to hold on to the truth of who he is. Learn whatever he wants to teach us. But also along that journey, like Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, learning to tend sheep. What else was he learning? He was learning what it was and how to live in the desert. Because he knew that, God knew that the children of Israel were going to be in the desert for some time. And so therefore he had to learn what it is. I've been into the wilderness. And I know that I went on one of our tours. That's a good advert. If anybody hasn't been to Israel, you can come with us in November this year. But, you know, we went into the wilderness with a Bedouin. And the Bedouin sort of said, see that over there. And we sort of said, see what? All we could see is stones. And he sort of said, see that little, those twigs? And he sort of said, oh yeah, they're just dead twigs, aren't they? And that's what all of us thought. But he sort of said, look, you know, just pick it up. Spit in your hands. And then rub the stick. And it became soap. Moses would have learned these things. Moses would have seen, you know, a plant that to us would look like a weed. And the Bedouin made a camp stove for us. And in the camp stove, he sort of said, put those leaves. And it was just like, it was like a peppermint tea. It was literally like peppermint tea. It was flavored water. Don't tell Clive it was peppermint. But it was like flavored water. Moses would have learned that looking after the sheep. There was others that were perfume. You rub a leaf in your hands and you smell your hands and it's like perfume. Moses would have learned this in the wilderness when he was there for 40 years. And there are things that God wants to teach you in the situations that God is going to take you into. And whether you are there very, very close to your promise or you can't quite see how God is going to fulfill that promise, everything along that journey is going to be for your learning, to teach you. Now, one of the things you have to do is respond to what is being taught you. Because if you don't respond to what is taught, you could actually remain going round and round and round and round in circles until you come to a place where saying, okay, God, you're right, I'm wrong. I need to be obedient to what you say and not what. Now, God got very, very angry with Moses at certain points because he did what he knew how to do. He would have known how to get water from a rock. Again, one of the things that you would have seen is that in a desert scenario, a Bedouin would have found and known how to get water from a rock. because there's a calcium deposit, trickles of water would come from the rock, and calcium, because of the hot conditions, would make it like a bung. And so a shepherd who knew the wilderness would know that if you knocked the cork, the calcium deposit, off the rock, then often water would come out of it. It's incredible, isn't it? Little things like this, Moses would have learnt in that period of time. Why? Because God had a bigger plan where instead of looking after sheep, he was going to look after people. God is wanting each and every one of us to come into that place where we fulfill our promises. Now, I believe that, you know, in this whole story, one of the things that, you know, I come back to is when the children of Israel have been released from Egypt after Passover, they get released and then they come to the water's edge, don't they? And then the armies of Egypt decide, hey, we're missing a trick here. If we let them go now, who's going to do our building for us? And so therefore, the armies of the Egyptians came behind them. And it was like, where do we go? I believe that there are people here that you have come to a place where do we go? Where do I go? It's like I've come to a water's edge and I can't see how I'm going to get over this particular situation. I don't know how, Father, you've promised me something, but I don't know how I'm going to get from here to the promise, which seems to be across the sea somewhere. Think about this story of Moses and the Egyptians behind them and the promised land in front of them. I believe there's promises that God has spoken. There's things that are about that God has said about your lives, that he's wanting you in the promised land, not still on this side of the water. We're going to do a prophetic action in a minute, because I really believe that God is wanting to take many of us from where we are, where many of us are like at the water's edge. And it's like there's a cry saying, God, you know, I know that there is something else that you've promised me, that there is something that I need a breakthrough for. I need another miracle. Now, one of the things, important things for me is that, you know, the Egyptians, the Israelites, one of the things they had to do was leave everything behind. They took treasures from the Egyptians, but there was many, many household items that they had to leave behind. Now, I'm not asking you, any of you, to sell homes or anything like that. Please, I'm not asking you to do that. But one of the things that we must do is to get the attitude of Egypt out of our mindsets. That negativity, that sin mentality, that we need to come into a place where we say, God, I am going to be obedient to the promises that you have set out for me. I'm not going to be looking back at the things that are pulling me back, but I am going to be looking to you. I'm going to respond to what you're saying. I'm going to be a person who listens to what you say. Then I'm going to do it. And it's just so, so important that if we are going to come to a point where we say, God, I want this miracle. I want to be a person who crosses over into the place where promises can begin to be fulfilled in a different way than they are currently. I'm not saying God is not doing a work in any one of our lives. I'm just saying that I believe that there are miracles that people are wanting and waiting to happen. And it's like you come to a place where you need something of a God event to be happening. And I believe this morning can be that God event. I'm going to play a DVD now. It's from, what's the film called? Prince of Egypt, thank you. Can I help you, me move this away? It's a Prince of Egypt, and it's at the scene where the Passover has just happened. And as the Passover has happened, it's Moses going to tell the children, the Israelites, that they're about to be freed. Let's play this, please. See, I believe that many people are like at that water's edge. But I just want to very, very quickly just read what those words were. Because for me, I know it's Prince of Egypt, and I know it's a cartoon sort of character, but it says there can be miracles when you believe. All hope is frail. And I believe that there's times where our hope is frail. But then it says it's hard to kill because I don't believe God wants us to destroy the promises. But who knows what miracles you can achieve. Somehow you will. You will when you believe. We can believe that when God speaks, he will fulfill what he's promised. And we can hold on to that. But I just wanted to, the Hebrew that the children were singing. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Who is like you, O Lord, among the celestial? In love, you lead the people you have redeemed. That's what they were singing in the Hebrew, the children in that clip. But you know, God is the Redeemer. And he, I believe, wants to redeem things in your lives today where things maybe have got a little difficult, a little bit out of sync with the plan that God, you know, God has for you. And we're going to just play another little clip now, but we're going to then do something at the end of that because it will come to the place where the waters part. And I believe that God is wanting us prophetically to do this. And obviously, this is not for everybody. But, you know, if you really do believe that God is going to do something, I want you to, in a sense, see this aisle as something that is like a parting of the water, where God is taking you from a place to a better place. Because I believe God wants to take each and every one of us to a place where he does truly become the deliverer for you this morning, whatever that looks like for you. But just like that song says, is that he is the God of miracles, if you believe. And I believe that God is stirring you today that, yes, I do believe that you can bring a change into this situation or this circumstance. I believe that you can change this physical need. I believe that you can change a natural need, i.e. a job or finance or one of those things. Or I can change. Actually, I know that you've promised me something and I haven't seen it yet. And I'm going to see it. Why? Because you believe in what he has said. Not what I've said, but what he said. So we are going to do a prophetic action. But you see, in any prophetic action, it means that you've got to do it in the way that I believe God is showing me. Now, you've got to say yes to that or no to that. And please, I'm not asking everybody to do it. But at the end of this clip, I will ask everybody to stand. And if this is what you really do believe, I want you to go round the outside, not in the middle. I want you to go round the outside. And it's like coming through from the place of the old into the place of your destiny. And I believe God is wanting to do this, whether it's one person or whether it's all of you. I don't mind. But I do know that God is wanting to be the deliverer in your life today in some way, shape, or form. But when God speaks, it means that you need to come right down from the back through to the middle. And then just like the children of Israel, when they got into the land of promise, they started to worship. So let's see this second clip, please. If everybody could stand, please. We'll keep that on the thing. It's just one of the important things that as we just come to what I believe God is saying to us this morning, that it's just very, very quickly important to just get rid of anything that we know potentially is, Lord, helping us to focus on what is behind us. Those things in quotes of Egypt that potentially is holding us back from fulfilling the promises that God is laying before us. Just quickly, if it's unbelief, Father, forgive me for not continuing in what you've promised me, that over a period of time I've got wearied in praying for a particular thing to happen. God, forgive me for not holding on to your promise. Forgive me, because it's very, very important that we ask God to forgive us, so that when we come to a place where we do something, I believe prophetically, an action that if we truly believe what this can signify in our lives as an event, then it's, Lord, I want to respond to you. God, I don't want anything of the old to affect my future. I want everything off today, because I truly want you to deliver me from these things. That attitude, that mindset, that negativity, that criticism. Lord, I don't want that, because I know that that's not your best plan for my life. Father, that's the old, and that doesn't belong to my future. Because my future is based on what you want for me. Lord, I want to make sure that my feet are firmly on the land of promise. And so, Father, I just want to today, Father, Lord, do whatever is necessary to take me into that place of deliverance. If you really believe God is saying for you to do something like this today, I just ask you just to come out of your seats, but go to the left or right and just slowly walk down, like you're coming through a God action today, where he has parted something from the old to the new. And then just begin to come right to the front. Just all come to the middle, to the front, if that's what you want. And then begin to praise God. Thank you, Father. That's it. It's got to go round and down the whole aisle. But see that you're coming through from a land where you have been into something completely and utterly new. Not because what I've said, but because you believe. Thank you, Father. And then begin to worship him as you come to the front. Thank you, Father. They changed the language, and Miriam, immediately when they got over into the promised land, when Egypt was destroyed, the enemy was destroyed, he was no more. But in that language change, I believe that there's lessons that we need to heed. Because when God delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, they were very positive and they had the change of language. But they were very, very quick to go back into the doubt and the fear. And so, Father, I just speak right now that all fear is broken. That as you have done this prophetic act today, Father, Lord, I just pray that in the name of Jesus and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will come and fill every single one of us, whether you're out or whether you're still in your seat, so that you will enable us to fulfill what you are asking of us, and that our language will be one of glorifying you, one of praising you, one of obedience to you. And Lord, that we will never return to that land where of negativity, that land where there was false idol worship. But Lord, that we truly will be a people who worship you.
It's just God's response to you now. He's just singing. He's just singing this over you now. I have purchased you as my own. I have purchased you, my child, and redeemed you from everything. I am speaking over you today that I'm faithful and true. You can lift your heads again. I'm your hope and your victory. You can lift your heads again. I'm your strength and your song. Lift up your heads to the coming King. Lift up your heads to the coming King. And I will opportunity to say, God, I've done it my way. Father, I ask your forgiveness for what I've done my way, for all that I've done wrong, fallen short of who you are and your glory. But I turn now to you. I turn now to you. I ask for your forgiveness and for your cleansing. If that's you for the first time today, it's important that you come and speak to someone, speak to Pastor Jonathan, myself, or one of the guys on the Connect team today.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.